The CIA has escalated the number of drone attacks in Pakistan since the new year started. According to the Washington Post, there were 7 strikes in the first 10 days of 2013, compared to around just 1 per week at the end of last year. Intelligence officials attribute the increase to the coming drawdown of U.S. troops in Afghanistan and a sense of urgency that opponents of the Afghan government must be weakened before those troops leave and before the Afghans are in charge of their own security. There are currently about 66,000 American troops in Afghanistan. Most of them are scheduled to leave by the end of next year. It's not clear yet how many, or if any, U.S. troops will be left in Afghanistan after 2014. The use of drones is likely to come up during John Brennan's confirmation hearings to be President Obama's new head of the CIA. And there's also a debate over drone use in Britain. The Guardian newspaper recently reported that Britain will double the number of drones in use over Afghanistan and Pakistan, and for the first time, they will be controlled from Britain. The BBC's Chris Vallance spoke to 3 British veterans, including a former drone pilot, and has this report.
The sound of a drone taking off, a sound Dave Cummins knows well. While in the RAF, he flew Reaper and Predator drones out of Creech US Air Force Base near Las Vegas. His daily commute took him from the doorstep to conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
We started with the 1-hour drive from home, from inner city to the most desert-like area you could probably find. But it's a good drive, that 1 hour, because it takes you from your house, from your family, from the dishes and the cleaning of the car, and it gives you time to adjust. You do have to be in the right frame of mind to do this. You're carrying munitions and weapons that can end lives, so it's not the kind of thing where you can enter the box worried about the next mortgage payment or how the kids are going to get to school tomorrow.
Another sound associated with drones, protest. Many find this form of virtual war viscerally disturbing.
Quite often people will say it's an immoral side to war, the fact that you can be several thousands of miles away taking strikes. In one sense, I equate a UAV or an unmanned system to a sniper who's sitting 2 kilometres away on the hilltop.
Our objective was to clear the area of Sangin, or just south of Sangin. And we, as soon as we got out of the vehicle, we were fired upon. We dived for cover and well and truly hit home then as to we were actually out on tour and no more going home and having to think about it and go to bed.
The voice of a former British fire support team commander who served in both Iraq and Afghanistan. He spoke on condition we didn't name him, his job to help direct ranged weaponry from artillery to fast jets to drones. So in his view, does fighting from behind a computer screen change the way you approach combat?
Yes, because it's a lot easier to take a step back and have a bit more of a Hamlet moment, as it were. And you can hopefully double-check what you're doing is correct.
Some people worry it's making war like a game, like a video game.
No, because sometimes you'll see a line of little white dots and you know very well that they're your friends are doing the job you were just doing last week. And so, no, you don't feel detached. You feel very much part of it, but just looking at it at a different angle.
For drone pilot Dave Cummins, being far from the battleground meant being close to the chain of command.
Absolutely. There are times where it can almost be like a conference call. So you can take phone calls from anyone from the ground controller through to the general sitting in the operations centre controlling the war, which is a rather unusual way to fight the war, where you can pick up the phone and speak to someone. But there are other times when decisions have to be made quickly, and then you're the last port of call.
Each to his own. The generals need to make the big strategic decisions further back, and the actual detailed tactical decisions, the closer to the front line they can be made, I think, the better.
Former Harrier pilot Bob Iverson.
Well, that's the helmet I was wearing at the time.
He experienced something no drone pilot ever can. He was shot down, attacking ground positions in the Falkland Islands.
On the top you can see the all the splatter marks from the miniature detonating cord, which blows the canopy into pieces before, you know, a millisecond before you go through it.
How important is the element of personal risk, do you think, in changing and affecting the way you make decisions?
Certainly from the point of view of the fact they're shooting at you, you have no qualms about your target. I think perhaps you may do if they couldn't shoot at you or what have you, but then I think it depends what else they've done. In my mind, it's a pretty evil bunch that run the Taliban. But if you're talking just soldiers, and it was a much weaker country, and that might make it quite a bit harder, I think.
Certainly, Dave Cummins found parts of his work quite difficult.
The majority of the time can be spent between a day, 2 days, maybe a month, watching the target. And then when it happens, we don't leave as soon as we've dropped our weapons. We stick around for a battle damage assessment. And because of the way of the Muslim faith, they like to bury their dead before the sun goes down. Generally, you will see the funeral procession, the women and children arrive. It can be very emotional, and it's one of the things I think they're looking for to make sure that that doesn't turn into a problem in 10, 15 years.
Combat, for all those I spoke to, left its mark, whatever the range.
It stays with you forever. It's something you'll always talk about with friends or peers that were there at the time. But yes, it's something that will never go away.
You do have some feelings for the other side, for the troops, if you like. But at the time, you're not really thinking them as, you know, as an individual person. But it is people. At the other end, you know, you're fully aware of that. And there are the occasional images that stick in your mind. There's one that sticks in my mind. I don't feel guilty about it, but I was dropping cluster bombs along a line of Argentinian tents, and I was just releasing the cluster bombs when an Argentinian soldier popped his head out of the far tent and ran. But unfortunately, he ran away. If he'd run to the side, he might have got away with it.
It's a difficult question, and it's a question I suppose everybody who participates in military action must ask themselves at times, that there will be people whose lives have ended because of decisions you made and actions you performed.
It's something I take very seriously. But on the same token, I was a Royal Air Force Reaper pilot. I was fully committed to that conflict, and it's something that, although I'm not happy with, I'm comfortable with what I did.
That report from the BBC's Chris Vallance. News is next, here and now.